thank you. Last Sunday, I spoke about the church in restoration. I tried to sum it up by saying God has a pie. In the Dark Ages, when he said the restitution of all things will take place before Christ returns. And God had a pie, and I showed a picture of a pie, and how God had taken a slice out of a pie and found hungry people, and he would give them each a slice of pie, and then he would say, no, you get a hold of this. When you've got a hold of that and established it as the restoring of the kingdom, then I'll give you the next slice. And then when you get a hold of that, I'll give you the next slice till the restoration has been completed. But what has happened, every denomination took that little slice and they would look at us. We're so blessed. God's revealed all this to us. And they put little barriers around them and us four no more signs. And they build constitutions and build rules and regulations. The next thing you know, we had another denomination. And all through church history, you will find churches that were once a powerful, anointed visitation of God, but did not continue to be open to what the next thing that God had for them. Well, the kingdom of God is part of this end time slice of pie. What I'm sharing with you this morning is a slice of pie. And I don't believe it's coming to a particular area. I believe it's coming to churches of all denominations that will say, Lord, what is the kingdom of God? And so I want to speak this morning on the reflected kingdom. God dealt with me a few years ago when we were in Welland Church there, and for one entire year, so it must have been about 45 to 50 messages on the kingdom. I don't know if people got tired of hearing about it, but there's so much about the kingdom of God, and I want to deal with that this morning. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you would help me, Lord, to share, to say what you want said and not to say what you do not want said this morning. And may our ears be open, may our eyes be open too, may our hearts and minds be open to hear what you would say to us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The reflected kingdom. Are you okay with keeping up with me there? Now my graphics are not going to be like Wendy's because I don't know where she finds all these beautiful pictures, so I had to make some of them up myself. So you who are good with graphics on the computer, just hang in there with me. And tell me after where I could have done better, okay? Let's go first of all to the scripture in Matthew, the words of Jesus. Actually, words of Matthew as he recorded, Matthew 4:23. And he, Jesus, went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, watch this, teaching and preaching the good news of the kingdom. The good news means the gospel, the gospel. That means good news. The gospel or the good news of the kingdom. And this is what the good news of the kingdom looked like. Healing every disease and every weakness and infirmity among the people. Those afflicted with various diseases and torments. Those under the power of demons and epileptics and paralyzed people. And he healed them. When he preached the kingdom of God, there were manifestations of his presence. It's so very, very important that we understand this. On the Sermon of the Mount, found in Matthew chapter 5 and 6 and part of 7, we have the sermon outlines. There are two major outlines in the Sermon on the Mount. The first one is, the first outline is the Beatitudes. And we know that, blessed are you, blessed are you, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the meek, on and on. That's an outline. The second outline found in chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, is the outline we call the Lord's Prayer. I personally believe the Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17. I've shared with you many times before, if you want a composite of the ministry and heart of Jesus and kingdom, it's found in John 14, 15, 16, and then his great priestly prayer that he prayed for the disciples. And in the prayer he says, I pray not only for these, but I pray for all of those, that's you and me, who will believe on me because of your name, because of your preaching and your teaching. So when he prayed in John 70, he prayed for you and he prayed for me also. But in the outline on prayer, we know this and you're going to have to bear with me for a minute. He says this, when you pray, about a year later the disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray? And Jesus said, when you pray, and he gave the same very outline. He did not give a prayer for us to just repeat off the top of our head. He gave an outline. He said, when you pray, say, Our Father, Abba. We talked about this a few weeks ago. Abba, the relationship of intimacy. who art in heaven, who rules the heavens, who created them by the very words of his mouth, the majesty of our God, the Creator, Elohim. He said, get the balance between the intimacy of God and the majesty of God. And then he says, and meditate, hallowed be thy name. And folks, if you want to see how it's supposed to be done, how somebody does this the way Jesus said to do it, you come out on Wednesday night and you'll see Pastor Ralph laying out for us this outline and doing it the way Jesus said to do it. That's why I believe, Sister Frieda, I believe that we will see miracles and answers to prayer because Pastor Ralph, your son, is doing it the way Jesus said to do it. I really believe that with all my heart. If you want to just see how to follow this outline in prayer that Jesus gave twice, come out on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. But right after he does the introduction, he says, the first thing I want you to pray about is this. And say, thy kingdom come. Yeah. Thy kingdom come on earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. How God operates his heaven, Jesus said, I want you to pray that it will happen on this earth. You know my heart's cry? It's a little dream that I have. Maybe it's a illusion of grandeur. But I would love to think that if every person in Canada, hear me now, who loves Jesus, who believes he is the Son of God, if every person who believes this would get up every morning and would say, Father, thy kingdom come today in Canada. Thy will be done in Canada as you have purpose for it in heaven. Your plans for Canada, Lord, will it be done. Thy kingdom come in Canada. Thy will be done in Canada. I think within a very short time we would see a spiritual move in this nation. Because Jesus said it. Jesus said that's what we should do. Pray, thy kingdom come every day. Thy will be done every day in Canada. Sometimes God gets me going on the roll, and I say, and to our friends in the States too, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done in Israel and the peace of Jerusalem. Thy will be done in Lebanon and Syria and Jordan and in Egypt. Thy will be done in Iraq and Iran. Thy will be done in Pakistan and Afghanistan. Thy will be done in England and Australia. And you keep going. Thy will be done on earth. Amen? Yes. But we're to pray that. We're to pray the kingdom of God would come to this earth. What is that? What is the kingdom of God being that? What is the kingdom? Let's go to the next slide. The kingdom of God is reflected in many, many ways. It is mentioned 371 times in Scripture. Now, not all of them are to do with the kingdom of God. Many of them are kingdoms of earth and things like this. But many of these that mentioned in the Bible on the kingdom has to do with the kingdom of God on this earth. I want to tell you a little story. Can you take me to that story there, Logan? Just give me the spinning earth. One day I'm out walking, getting dark. Everything was good. The earth was spinning and I was still on it. And I came across this pond, beautiful pond. Still not a breath of air blowing. I was looking at the reflection on this pond and all the world was good. You know that kind of day when you have when everything was good? And I was just feeling so good. And as I sat there, just give me a little click. The moon. There it is. The moon came up from behind the trees. And as the moon came up, it also was reflected on the water. Beautiful. Isn't that nice? See, that's not bad, Randy. I can do a few of those things. Don't know much about it, but sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And I'm sitting there. And I hear this voice behind me saying, look at that moon in the water. I said, the moon's not in the water. The moon's up there in the sky. He said, no, look. Look at the moon in the water. And I said, the moon is not in the water. I like to argue. I don't know who this guy is, but I'm saying it's not in the water. It's in the sky. He said, well, what's that in the water? I said, that's the reflection. That's not the moon. That's the reflection of the moon in the water. He didn't like me arguing. He stood there for a minute and he says, look how bright the moon is. The moon is shining. I said, the moon is not shining. Right. Are you with me, Tom, in this? This is a crazy story I'm telling you here, but Jesus told some funny stories too. I said, The moon is not shining because it has no light of its own. Give me a click there, Logan. I said, the moon is simply reflecting the sun. That's all it's doing. The moon is reflecting the light of the sun. And sometimes when the earth gets in the way, it shadows it. We have quarter moons and half moons and no moons at all. But the moon's always there. Now, the guy leaves. He gets mad at me and leaves. I don't want to argue, he says. And off he goes. I got a little temper, so I grabbed a rock and I threw it in the pond. Come on, Logan. There. Those are my ripples. I should have done like that, but those are the best ripples I could come up with. And ripples appeared, and the moon was no longer properly reflected. Was it a problem with the moon? Was it a problem with the sun? Couldn't even see the sun, thankfully. I want you to get this picture in your mind, because I'm going to use this as an illustration. And I believe Jesus and the Scripture uses this also as an illustration. Here's the question. Okay, Logan, slide number five. What was God's purpose for the creation of this earth and the placement of mankind in it? I think it was the first or second Sunday that I was here. I preached on Genesis 1, 26 to 28. He says, God said, let us make man after our image and in our likeness. Let us make them male and female. He created them. And then he said, and let them have dominion over the earth. The right to rule on this earth. And the words that are used in the Hebrew are the words rada and the words kabash. Can you say them with me? Rada and kabash. It means really to rule over or to subdue and trample upon. That was man's responsibility on this earth. And here's what I want to, and I'd like you to say this with me, that God's intention was that his world be governed and subdued by those who themselves were governed by God. Would you read that with me? God's intention was that his world be governed and subdued by those who themselves were governed by God. I'm going to take you on a little journey and ask you if you know this flag. Does anybody know this flag? Anybody know this flag? Well, you should know. It's the flag of the most beautiful nation on earth. My wife's been there about 15 times, 15 or 16 times. It's the flag of this island. This island is a nation. It's 21 miles from north to south, and it's 14 miles from east to west. You see that little town there, the southeast, southwest, called Bridgetown? That's where I was born, and I was raised in that area. And never left that little island, 21 miles by 14 miles, until I was almost 20 when I came up to Canada to go to Bible college. You say, why are you telling us about this? How many have gone to Barbados? What's the matter? Only one. That's a few, right? You'd go again, I hope. You know what? Maybe we should do a conference in Barbados. That'd be good. Rent a plane. We'll rent a plane and go down. But the reason I'm sharing this with you, Barbados is the only island of the 30,000 islands in the archipelago that begins up by the Bahamas and goes all the way down to Trinidad and Tobago. And you have Greater Antilles and Lesser Antilles, the Windward Islands and the Leeward Islands and all that. It's the only island that remained British during the tumultuous times when the French were fighting with the English and they were fighting with Portugal, was fighting with Spain, and the little islands were trading back and forth. And it's the only island that remained British because it's out in the Atlantic, 100 miles east of all the others. And so it remained British. And the reason, and what happened was this. England sent governors and people to rule in this little island with one intention, to make it like England. They wanted this little island to reflect the bigger island in the North Atlantic. And when you think of it, it was absolutely ridiculous to try to make a little island with coconut trees look like England up in the north with smog and cold. And if you've ever been to England, you know it's Smoggy and lot of snow. But you know what? They did. They did. And as a child growing up there with cricket and driving on the left-hand side of the road with the steering wheel on the right-hand side of the car, putting petrol in the tank, and having a headmaster in private boys' school and long socks with colors, you know what I mean? I grew up English. I grew up English. When during my visit in England, I felt like I had gone home. Why? Because they had done such an incredible job of reflecting England in Barbados. I grew up believing and hearing, and I don't know if you picked it on yet, that Barbados was called Little England. I grew up, really, in Little England because of the job they did. Here's what I'm saying. It was God's intention, and why he originally did it, I'm not sure, but it was God's intention that earth be a reflection of his heaven. Hear this now. He wanted earth to reflect his glory, his heaven. And I'll show you from Scripture how he did it and what he expects of us as a reflection. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. And Jesus called the 12 together and gave them power, exousios, or dunamos, and authority, exousios, over all the demons, and to heal diseases. And here's what he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God. Did you get that? He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to perform healing. That was his message. That was his message that he told his disciples to proclaim. Proclaim the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God is among you. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And then in Luke 12:32, he said to them, the disciples he was talking to, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." This kingdom on earth, a reflection of my heaven, I'll give it to you. Many of the things he said to the disciples, he said to us also. You understand that? As we come into him, after his death and resurrection, the church was birthed, and all the promises that were there are for us too. Last week I showed you this picture of a broken-hearted Jesus. He's saying, "What have they done to my church?" Go ahead and put up that, Logan. Almighty God, our King, this is the conclusion of this. Almighty God, our King, wants us to recapture the dominion that man had in the beginning. He has gone to great lengths to make that possible by sending his own Son as the second Adam to restore what the first Adam lost. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom. I never saw this verse before this week. I know it's there. I had it somewhere in my notes, but I never saw this verse found in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 27. Remember, Daniel was very prophetic. A lot of Daniel's writing was for the future. Many of it has been accurately fulfilled, but there's still a portion of Daniel, the book of Daniel, that has not yet been fulfilled. And this one is one of those in the end time of the end time. And he says this, "Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be handed over to the saints." Did you get that? Do we have any saints here this morning? Amen. They're going to make John Paul II a saint. They figured out he's done enough miracles in his life that they're going to rush it through and make him a saint. I don't know if you saw that this week. But we have saints right here. If you love Jesus Christ and you have him in your heart, guess what? You're a saint. Turn to your husband, ladies, and say, "Hi, saint." My wife has never called me Saint Peter, although that sounds so natural. Saint Peter sounds more natural than Saint Doreen. I want you to know that. But this is what he turned and he handed over to the saints, the people of the Most High. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all rulers will worship and obey him. You probably saw come up on the scene there, screen, Revelation 11:15. We've been reading through Revelation, and I wanted to, this was the page I was looking for. I wanted to just read, compare this scripture here from Daniel with this revelation, this word from Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. The seventh angel then blew his trumpet, and there were mighty voices in heaven shouting, the dominion, that is the kingdom, sovereignty, and rule of the world has now come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, the Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever from the eternities of the eternities. Hallelujah. Is there any doubt in your heart and mind? I hope not. I hope you understand that there is a kingdom here and that there's going to be a perfecting of that kingdom. And God will rule with his Son, Jesus Christ, will rule, and he will turn the rulership over to the saints. Hallelujah. Jesus said it many times. What, do you not know that you will actually, in some part of the kingdom, judge angels? He said, if you are faithful over the little things, I'll make you ruler over the big things. I don't know what God has for us in the future, but I know his heaven of heavens is so incredibly without end. There must be something out there that will keep us busy. I don't plan on going to heaven and being bored. Hello? Right, right. If you think you're going to be bored, I heard one guy say, I don't want to go to heaven. I'm going to be bored up there. I can't play a harp all forever and ever. Listen, folks, that's such a... Get the Bible and understand God has a lot for us to do. Amen? He's going to keep us so busy. But what he's doing, he's looking for faithfulness in this kingdom now. So that he can reward us in his grander kingdom, the great, great kingdom that has no end. I'm able to imagine the incredible things that God has for us. So when we pray and say, thy kingdom come, and you're going to have to click each one of these, Logan, to exercise authority, we must walk in obedience. Get that? I didn't get any amens there, Tom. Okay, I'm going to say it again. To exercise authority, we must walk in obedience.
Amen.
Amen. Our strongest encouragement comes from the realization that we're not fighting for victory, we're fighting from victory.
Right. Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
It's already been done. It's already been accomplished. The battle has been won. And this third one, the strong man has already been bound, and all that's left for us to do is spoil his goods. You know what we need to do, and I know this church has taught this. We need to realize two things in order to be kingdom people. One, we need to know who we are in Christ, and we need to know whose we are in Christ. Let me back up a minute. We need to know him and who we are in him.
Right. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
We need to know the king and the subjects in the kingdom. We have a hard time with kingdom because North America didn't like kingdoms. Right? Especially the Americans, our friends down there, they fought hard to be free of the kingdom. We kind of slid out from underneath it. But we don't understand. Europe understands kingdoms. We don't really. But there's a kingdom, and we need to understand it. So I want to talk to you quickly as we close, seeing in the reflected kingdom. So much of the teaching of Jesus, he said, they have eyes to see, but they do not see. Is it possible to see and not see? If you're in on the phone, say, with a friend, and they're explaining something to you, and you're saying, I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. And then all of a sudden, they explain it just a little differently, and you say, ah, I see it. Where did you see it? You saw it. You saw it. Remember the story where Elisha and his servants were at Dothan and the king's army came and surrounded the little village. And the servant went out for water in the morning and he came rushing back in. Master, the enemy surrounded us. They surrounded us. Chariots and horsemen. There are thousands out there. And Elisha says, oh, it's okay. They're more on our side than on their side. He said, hello? Are you seeing something I'm not seeing? Hello? And Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes that he might see. And the servant went back out and looked. And all the mountains and all the hills, the Lord's army was present. Fire. Chariots and horses and soldiers on fire. Because he could see what he needed to see. Our problem, folks, in the kingdom, listen, is that we need to see what we're not seeing. Paul prayed in Ephesians, says that the eyes of their understanding might be enlightened, that they may know to see. We need eyes. Those are funny eyes. I don't know where I found those eyes. They look like clocks or something. Open my eyes, Lord. And here's what, have you ever heard the challenge of a preacher has said, this gospel must be preached in every nation, then the eye will come. It does not say the gospel. The gospel means good news. And Jesus never said this gospel of salvation or this gospel of healing or this gospel of deliverance or this gospel of prosperity. He didn't say that. He made it very, very clear. He said this gospel of the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached. And the word therefore is ethnos, means in every culture. Not just preached, let's say, in Canada, but preached to every ethnicity in this country before Jesus is revealed. The heavens must hold until the restoration of all things. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in the whole world for a witness to the nations, and then shall the end come. Let's look again at some reflecting, okay? The sun and moon, put them up there for me, and here are the words of Jesus. He said, okay, here comes the earth. Go ahead, Logan. Jesus said, let your light so shine. Get that? Yes. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And then he says in Matthew, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. That's a powerful verse. Powerful. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. How are you shining? How are you shining? You say, what does it mean to shine? Well, get a suntan? How do we shine? The book of Hebrews is a powerful book in the New Testament, and here is how it introduces, the whole teaching of Hebrews is introduced in first three verses. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Watch now. Who being in the brightness of his glory, hallelujah, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, and the Paul said, where he ever lives to make intercession for us. That's his ministry right now. That's his ministry, representing you before the Father. Hallelujah. And I came to this conclusion this week, and I put it up there for you, at the bottom there. One more click. The gifts of the Spirit reflect the ministry of Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit reflect the character of Jesus. Remember when Paul was having problems in the church at Corinth and he writes them a letter, 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 12, he begins to tell them about the gifts of the Spirit and how to operate the gifts. And then in chapter 14, he finishes it off and does such a tremendous, complete job. But he puts his pen down for a moment. He didn't write the chapters in there, right? Holy Spirit came upon him and he said, I'm going to tell you a better way than the gifts of the Spirit. He said, the better way than all of this is love. It's because if you operate in the gifts, no matter how much you operate, even if you give your body to be burned, and even if you can speak in any kind of language possible, but you do not have love, do you know what love is? Love is the first of the fruit. Hello? Are you with me here? I'm going to bring it to a conclusion here in a minute. Romans 5:17, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life. You get that? Shall reign in this kingdom. Shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. The New Living Translation, the sin of this one man, Adam, cause death to rule over us. But all who receive God's wonderful gracious gift of righteousness will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. And the Amplified puts this verse in that we will reign as kings in life. Folks, I don't know if you're doing any reigning right now, but God wants us to reign now in His kingdom on this earth. You get that? I hope I'm not putting too much and not bridging it. We need this bridge, so. I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you a little quiz here. Go ahead to the next one, Logan. Under the kingdom of God, He brought them forth also with silver and gold. You know where that is? Where that happened? The next one. And there was not one feeble person among them. Exodus, do I hear? This one will tell it who it is. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of the Israelites fell upon them. And this one, and He brought them forth. He brought forth His people with joy and His chosen with gladness. This is what, way back after 430 years in bondage, He brought them out with kingdom life. This is what the church looks like. This is what the kingdom of God on earth should look like. They were healed. They were set free. They were prosperous. They had some, and what did they do with all that gold and silver? They built God in the desert a place for His presence. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Folks, it's a beautiful story about the kingdom. The kingdom. The most powerful force in all eternity. Let's go. I missed one. Just one shot in the bottom there, Logan. All of this was possible because they had applied the blood to the doorpost. Right. Are you there with me?
Yeah.
We're preparing for communion this morning. And the emblem that we will hold and drink represents the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Because of the blood, we can live with this kind of blessing and prosperity and healing and abundance. Come on now. Come on, that should get us pretty happy. Amen. Because of the blood. Okay, let's go to the kingdom. The most powerful force in this world today is not a neutron bomb. And any of the weapons of mass destruction, the most powerful force on this earth is love. I have a video I'd love to show one of these mornings on how love transformed the Muslim terrorist who came to America to destroy people's lives and how love won him over. So click on that there, Lord, and we'll put this. Love, joy, come on, shout them out when you see them. Joy, peace, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith or faithfulness, meekness, self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. This is the reflection of the Holy Spirit, Jesus, through the Spirit, reflecting in our lives. The reflection of the kingdom. Until His kingdom is reflected in His church, we're not going to see the manifestation of His love and power that we should see. So, you know, do a little exercise here if you want to do this. Just get a piece of paper and put 1 to 10. Love. Where would I put myself? How much love is being reflected? Joy. 1 to 10. Peace. 1 to 10. The pastor, you're being unfair. That's tough. But it's good to just do it. The Bible talks about examining. That's at the communion table, actually. Paul said, let a man examine himself. And a good way to examine ourselves is to say, how much of the kingdom in heaven is being reflected in my life? By the fruit they shall be known. I close with this word. It's a statement. I boldly declare that I am investing in my future. All eternity lies before me, so I'm sowing seeds into the kingdom of God, believing that they are being laid up for me for all eternity. I'm a wise investor, so I sow regularly and faithfully into the work of God's kingdom. I am allowing the Holy Spirit to set eternity in my heart. Somebody say, amen. I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to set eternity in my heart. I'm going to close this off, and I think it fits in. I think it prepares us for the communion. This man, Steve Harvey, he's a believer, was invited to go to a comedy festival with thousands of people and close it off. I'm not sure if they told him how to close it, but he decided to close it in his way. Now, sometimes a comedy festival, they can be pretty raunchy. I don't know who was there. There's no explanation. But it was a comedy festival, thousands of people, and he was asked to close out the festival. And I want you to let it run, because at the end, he is amazed. So let it run right to the end, where the lights come back on him, and he just amazed. But listen to how he... Is this pulpit in your way? For that, up there? No? Okay, and then we'll prepare our hearts for the communion. But listen to what he does at the end of a comedy festival.
My mother taught me at 36 years of a Sunday school teacher that Jesus was going to come back one day. I believe that through every piece of hard time I'd have had. When y'all see me on tape and it don't look like I know him, trust me, I know him every day. There's no way I could have got here without it. What I believe has gotten me here, this is real talk. So if you will, just imagine with me if I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ. This is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to name. He has done the impossible time after time. He has, out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His dad is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no cabinet trick. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the rose of Sharon, and some say he's the prince of peace. Get up on your feet.
And you can get a bunch of people who came to hear comedy ending up a comedy festival with that kind of excitement. Yeah. You know what I say? There's hope for America. There's hope for America.
I really felt so convicted when that video was playing. That was a comedy show. And the people got up and they shouted. If we were here and we were actually introducing the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, I'm conservative. I sat on that pew and I clapped a little bit, but I didn't want to stand up and look different. But you know, we are different. We have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in our lives. And I wanted to get up and shout, but I was too embarrassed. But if we really believed that he was there, and we have needs today, and he was introduced as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what would we do? I don't care how conservative I would be, I would jump out of my seat and I would give glory to God. So I'm encouraging all of you, let's at this moment give glory to God and the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Character, Lord, in this dark world, in Jesus' name.